And good evening. Broadcasting live on WMIC, AM 660, 95.3 FM. It is Sportsline on a Monday, and we are live coming from the Fury Casa.
Yeah, Casa de Fury here. We're on the back deck. It's a beautiful day.
It is. I decided to do this. I didn't want to be in the office. By the way, my co-host for today, Mike Gallagher, was not available, so I went to not the second string, not the first string, not even a third string. I came off the water boy list here and got Sir Philip Nickel to join us for the first sports line this season.
Yeah, this is the first time I've joined this season. Last season I was a regular, and you picked me up off the waiver wire. That's okay.
Yes, I could use some really good players in fantasy football. I'm losing by 5-10 points. Very frustrating, by the way. So we saw some fantasy numbers on Friday.
Wow.
You were on the broadcast with me, Mike Gallagher. Mikey Smith was at that game doing the call. I was doing the call along with you on WBGV 92.5 FM. Week 9 of the regular season has wrapped up.
The regular season is over. We're headed to the playoffs.
All right. That's Phil Nickel and I'm Eddie Fury for your host for Sportsline Monday edition. I was going to make this a super show, but some schedules were kind of shifted around, and Mike Gallagher will not be co-hosting today. He is off covering volleyball game, doing his main job,
sports reporting.
Yeah, sports reporting for the Sanlac County News.
He's the sports editor for the Sanlac County News.
Yeah, you might hear some echo in the background, like swap shop callers, because I have the radio on just to make sure we're on. We are on.
We are on.
Yeah.
JB wants to know what phone should he call.
He should call my cell number.
Call Eddie's cell number. There you go.
And see? I hope that works.
We figured this out on air, live production meeting.
We've had some great weather here. We had great weather for our game.
Yeah. What a beautiful night for football Friday night, and what a dandy of a game we had. Still a beautiful day here today. We're on your back deck. Look at the fall colors out there, Eddie. You're a lucky guy with this view.
Yeah, and we planted some new maples out there, and we had some nice – we have a nice red one growing. We have a red one back over my pond. You can see the pond from my deck. Mm-hmm. We are broadcasting live outside on the deck with all those black little bugs or beetles with the red color on them. They're everywhere. They're coming out of the woodwork here.
It's nice. They probably went into a slumber for the winter, and they're working their way out, as well as bees.
There was one flying and stuck in your beard.
Yeah, it was stuck in my beard for a minute. I set them free, though, because bees are a very valuable commodity.
And some wasps are out also, and those ladybugs have woken. So now you got to suck them up in the vacuum, right?
That's exactly what I do with them, too. Just.
And Mrs. Fury is also home also. And Jonathan Bisher is with us also on the line. Jonathan.
How are you, Eddie?
Great. We hear you loud and clear. I hope you can hear us also. So
this, I can hear you great. I've missed you.
You know, I'm surprised. Cross your fingers. Everything works.
Wow.
Knock on wood.
All right. Thank you to Nick Lean and the staff back at Sand Lake Broadcasting also. He made sure we were turned on, and I figured something. I was panicking like literally a minute before, right?
So Can confirm, yes.
All right, so it's beautiful weather. We'll go through some scores right now. And first of all, Jonathan, some surprising scores out there here and there, some not surprising. Your game of the night, you did the Lakers-Garber game on Friday night.
Yes, I did, and I was glad to make that trip out there. It was back to my old stomping grounds where I first got my shot at broadcasting.
That was with Great Lakes Sports Network.
Yes, it was.
Now you're on Thumbchuckers Sports Network. So,
yeah. Yes.
So you're on the third string also. So.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
The first string of the third string.
It's not my first choice, he says. It's my backup school.
All right, so we're going to go through some of the scores that happened in week 9, and now we're into the playoffs also, folks. So, yeah, I mean, we're all getting geared up for that. A lot of games on a Friday in our immediate coverage area. Our games of the nights for WBGV 92.5, Sand Lake Broadcasting. We're going to be covering the Marlette at Marine City Carnamooney game, which will be at East China Stadium.
Right.
So I'll be on top of the roof there.
On the roof.
That one will be Saturday.
Yes, that's right. 12:30 noon is our coverage. And then Friday night, we'll be covering eight-player football, Brown City Green Devils, salivating matchup against Auburn Hills Oakland Christian. Ooh. We're all curious here, Jonathan. They played Pac. Now they get to play another NCTL team.
Yeah, this is their third NCTL team because they played KPAC in week 9.
That's right. All right, so let's go through these NCTL eight-player football games. This was our game of the night on Week 9 to end the regular season. Deckerville 62 over Peck, who had 64 overtimes, Sir Philip.
60 points, 122 points total, put up four overtimes. One of the most exciting games I've ever been associated with. One of the hardest-hitting maximum effort games, that most maximum effort games I've ever seen. Both teams really wanted to win badly. And it came down to a two-point conversion in the fourth overtime.
Yeah, and Peck really made a comeback in the second half. We found that Peck is pretty for real right now at this point, but Deckerville's gotten better. They're a young team. They've had some losses also. And, Jonathan, you believe had they not won this game, they don't get in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was a must-win game for Deckerville. And talk about coming in clutch. I mean, four overtimes to get there, but, hey, you got it done. You got to the playoffs, and now anything can happen.
The North Central Thumb League Stars champions, the Kingston Cardinals.
Right.
Defeating Carsonville Port Sanlac 36-0. They don't have Olin Corliss at the starting quarterback, right?
He's out. He had hand surgery today, I heard.
Oh.
He's at running back now.
He's at running back. But, yeah, he's not going to be playing quarterback.
What, does he have the old club
probably
on?
I'm sure he has it wrapped up, yeah.
Yeah. But they're the NCTL champions. They beat Deckerville, and that's who Deckerville will meet in the first round of the playoffs. So we get a salivating, rematch here, Jonathan. Kingston handled Deckerville pretty much in the first meeting, but is this a Deckerville team that's different from that last game?
Well, yeah, this is a different Deckerville team that's playing a lot better. They found a guy in the backfield by the name of Dylan Ball, and this is a completely different Kingston team without Owen Corliss at quarterback. So just because Kingston got the better of them the first time doesn't mean they're going to get the best of them the second time.
All right, Mayville defeats Ashley 54-12. North Huron over Burton Atherton 44-28. Congratulations to North Huron. I think they had to win this game to get in the playoffs
they
also,
did.
Jonathan.
Yeah.
That was another must-win game for North Huron. They get in with that win over Burton Atherton. Mayville also goes 6-3. They fall just short of the playoffs.
Ooh. And you were at that game, Phil, with Jonathan for the North Huron game.
Yes.
Previously, before this game.
New Haven Merritt, yes.
And they had to win that. They pretty much had to win the last three games
there. They did. They had to win to get in, and they played hard that night up there against New Haven Merritt. Just a total effort.
The game against Burton Atherton, they ran 90 plays to Burton Atherton's, what was it, like 30 plays,
wow,
roughly?
Ooh. That's insane.
So they controlled the clock against that game. I mean, that's that North Huron 3 yards in a cloud of dust mentality. That's dumb football right there.
I had to get 100 plays just to get to second base with Mrs. Fury, so there we go. All right.
Oh.
Bay City All Saints shutting out Genesee 50-0. Is that okay on the radio?
That's fine. That's
Akron
fine.
Fairgrove, the Vikings blow the horn over Caseville 62-12, but no horn in the future as they are not in the playoffs. Brown City defeating KPEX 60-6. I forgot to update the score on Auburn Hills Oakland Christian, but I know they defeated New Haven Merritt in that game. Greater Thumb Conference, East and West. Marlette defeats Waterford, Our Lady Lakes. Jonathan, I do believe Marlette had to win this game also to get in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was another must-win game. And once again, our Thumb team's coming in through clutch week 9 to take care of business against Waterford, and they sneak in the playoffs. Now we're going to talk about this. They sneak into the playoffs, and they got a way better draw than I think anybody in the area thought they were going to get.
That would be our game of the day on Saturday afternoon, 12:30 at East China Stadium, Marlette at Marine City, Carnamooney. Cass City loses to Bill City 27-14, but Cass City still gets into the playoffs.
They backed into the playoffs. But, yeah, Bill City's a tough team. So I'm a little shocked that they hung with them that close. I'm not going to be.
Phil, you said that correct. This, I think, opened a lot of eyes in the area. And then the way the brackets fell, it's looking like the Thumb's going to have to go through Beale City. And with Cass City hanging in there, I think Ubley and Harbor Beach are pretty happy with their chances.
Harbor Beach over Vassar, 51-12. However, Harbor Beach just one loss in the season. But some of the teams they played, not as tough. I'm going to say in Greater Thumb East, Cass City's schedule is a lot tougher.
Yes.
But Harbor Beach has to go on an away game here.
Yeah, you talk about going 8-1 and having to go to Saginaw to play MLS. I mean, geez, you take care of business all year, and you draw the short end of the stick.
Playoff points. Okay, Sandusky ends the season. Not a great season, but they ended on a good note. Military Appreciation Night for the Sandusky football team over Unionville Seaboeing 44-20. So a good game there. We're hoping for bright things here. There's a couple young players in that Sandusky team I really like there. Come next year.
I think so, too. I think they're on the right track. They had a tough season this year, but They'll bounce back, and I think the future is looking pretty decent for the Sandusky football team.
Garber defeats Lakers 34-21. Jonathan, you were at that game. Hey, Lakers, only one loss in the season. However, after that game, they ended in week nine. They knew they were going to be in the playoffs, but what do we end the season on a good note? You kind of know where you're at when you're playing a tough team like that.
That was a game where they, I think, after the game, step back and goes, okay, just because we were 8-0 coming to this game, we got a lot of things to fix here in this next week of the playoffs. And this is a talented Lakers team, a lot of mental mistakes, so got to tighten ship up here with a big game coming up this week.
No problem, but ugly tighten the ship up. I think it was a 69-6 over Reese.
Yeah, 55-0 at halftime. The Bearcats make a statement heading into the playoffs that they're the real deal this year.
Bad Axe gets the big win over Hamtramck because they didn't have to play them. 1-0.
Just a forfeit right
now,
there.
No, it's actually 2-0. You cannot score 1 point in football.
There's no 1 point.
That's according to the MHSSA. They think otherwise.
No, it is 2-0.
Second Valley Lutheran over Carroll, 26-14. Melvindale Academy of Business defeats Memphis 38-6. We'll come back with some Blue Water Area Conference scores and make our commentary on that. We're going to take a break here on Sportsline Monday on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM. That's Jonathan Bisher on the phone. That is Sir Philip Nickel with me on my backyard deck here in the great outdoors. Somebody might be firing off their bow and arrow. Who's out there hunting my backyard in the field there, Sir Philip?
Kevin Stringer's back there.
I
wish
it was me.
Yeah, I wish it was me, too. I should have brought my bow. But, well, I'll sit here my season. I don't want to poach your backyard pets, though.
Right. And I know we got a big bowling game tomorrow night.
We do.
So
it's a big night versus Exchange State Bank.
There's half of the team right here. Jonathan's our other third member, and we got Cody Klee coming in.
Half the team, we got three quarters of the team here.
Yes, so we got.
Did you not pass fifth grade?
He never got into fractions.
I think I skipped fifth grade. I don't recall it. So yeah, all right.
Too many moons ago for Eddie.
We'll be right back here on Sportsline Monday here on WMIC AM 660 95.3 FM.
You're traveling to another dimension. A dimension of not only an office, but a home office. Your next stop, Kelly's home office. Kelly was working from home when the unthinkable happened. She reached for her coffee cup and...
oh no.
With her computer beyond repair, she only had one option. And that's where the real terror began. The price of a new computer from the big box store was enough to chill Kelly's blood. But then, she had an idea.
Hello, welcome to the AVS Tech Team. How can we help?
Kelly had remembered that the AVS Tech Team had quality refurbished computers, which happened to be greatly discounted through the month of October.
All of our refurbished computers go through a rigorous multi-point inspection and a restoration.
Wow, these are really affordable.
Today, Kelly learned a valuable lesson. That the AVS Tech Team has prices so low, you'll scream. Terms and conditions apply. Discounts valid while supplies last.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes six loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
How do you make the most of your land?
Well, it depends who you ask. If you ask the Wrens or the Caggianos, who run with us on John Deere mowers, they'd tell you.
I mow first, then I do all the trimming.
Get as much done in advance as possible.
I jump out of the house, a cup of coffee, and I'm at work.
But the Upshaws, the Hubbards, and the Allens, who work behind the wheel of John Deere compact tractors, would say,
something that's worth doing isn't always easy.
If it's something you want, just go after it and try it.
And most of all,
I make the earth take the shape that I want it to take.
Then there's the Nelsons and the Mosers, who may mention from the seat of their Gator UTVs,
it's important to just take it one day at a time.
You can't be all working up, like.
The most fun we have on the Gator is just ripping around the property.
It's a way of life.
There are millions of ways to make the most of your land. How will you make the most of yours? Nothing runs like a deer.
See your John Deere dealer, Tri-County Equipment, with 11 locations serving you in Sandusky, Bad Axe, Carroll, Marlette, Lapeer, Burton, Fenton, Saginaw, Birch Run, Reese, and Rochester Hills.
All right, welcome back to WMIC AM 660 and 95.3 FM Sportsline Monday, and we will have a Sportsline tomorrow because we want to go through Greater Thumb Conference today. Tomorrow, Blue Water Area Conference and recaps the NCAA player football, although we do a little bit of commentary. The rest of our scores, Blue Water Area Conference. What?
What?
Croswell Lexington wins over Freeland 41-34. A big surprise for me on this game here, Jonathan.
That was a huge surprise, and it allows Croswell Lexington to now host a playoff game and potentially two. Who would have thought that? The district did not fall like we thought it was going to.
Yeah, and with two losses, too, on the season. But
with two losses. I mean, Croswell Lexington, I mean, they got the best possible draw they could have ever got.
They also had one of the best schedules, you know, tough schedule. They had a second on Swan Valley. Freeland was a big one to get at the end of the season, win or lose, but they won that one. They did lose to Armada. Elmont, and they lost to North Branch, but they beat Armada. Armada loses in week nine also, but they still get a home playoff game. But North Branch now has the luxury of taking on Freeland now after they beat Three Rivers, a good win for them, but they had the luxury of hosting Freeland, who Croswell just beat there.
Oh, man, North Branch, are you going to have your hands full with Freeland?
Yes.
They're going to come out, I think, guns a-blazing after that. I would call upset loss to Croswell.
And then Goodrich defeated Almont 42-21 in week nine.
Goodrich is on a different level.
And they're probably going to face another Blue Water Conference team if we're lucky that North Branch wins also. So.
Right.
Flint Kersley wins over Armada. This is a tough loss for Armada, 25-22. They do like to play the tight wire, Sir Philip. Armada does.
They do. They do.
Yale comes from behind to win Macomb Lutheran North 38-28. With that win, Jonathan, they get into the playoffs. Who would have thunk?
That's crazy because five of the seven teams in the Blue Water Area Conference are going to the playoffs this year.
That's amazing.
Yeah, that is.
Big-time turnaround for the Yale Bulldogs. They might be back.
And they're just starting, though. This is just starting.
What is this, second year under
Garrett Grunman?
The new coach?
Yeah.
Under Grunman?
Yep.
He's turning that program around.
He's a good coach. He's a really, really good coach.
He slings it out there. That's what we like him. And I think that's what the fans are liking. The players obviously love that type of offense, you know, run and shoots out there in passing game. All right, Clintondale over Richmond, 20-17. Flint Southwestern defeats Emily City, 32-22. Those are your Week 9 regular season scores. You can find them on thumbtugger.com and at sandlakebroadcasting.com also. Jonathan, real quick here, what's the most surprising of Week 9?
The Croslex Freeland score. Croslex
right.
Holds off Freeland's comeback in the second half. That's kind of the surprise. And then I would say Lakers losing by two touchdowns to Garber a little bit more than I thought. And Cassidy hanging in there with Beale City. That's a big-time score to watch.
And how tough Peck came back in the second half right out of the gate
God.
There.
Can you guys tell me, is Caleb Lettner a ball player or
oh,
what?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? He's almost impossible to bring down in the open field. If he gets past the line of scrimmage, that's the only way Deckerville was able to contain him was they dominated the line of scrimmage. Their defensive lineman did. But if Caleb Lettner got into the secondary, he was gone.
And four overtimes in that win for Deckerville. For that win to get in the playoffs. Also, Peck was already going to be in the playoffs as it was. That was their second loss. They played against Brown City, lost their big. But you could tell the progression. We were wondering how much had they progressed. They showed it. They brought it. But it was Deckerville coming out on top. And I think it was a gutsy play here. I don't know if it was designed that way, but it was a broken play in a two-point conversion. Hunter Garza looking down the field, looking for a passer. Didn't see it. Saw the open field. Zipped his way in there for the two-point conversion to get the win.
Aimed for the pylon. I think we're really seeing it. He's only a sophomore, but we've really seen the maturation of Hunter Garza this season. He is a lot different than I saw him earlier in the season, for sure. So he's grown, he's gotten better, and just decisions like that reflect it, where he saw that everyone was covered downfield, and he had enough wherewithal to pull that ball down and just, like I said, aim for that pylon, and he got it. So
now, we saw them, I do believe, back in week two against KPAC.
We actually covered Deckerville quite a bit. We covered him week two against KPAC.
Yep.
We covered him against Toledo Christian.
I was at
then
that
we
one.
We covered him against Auburn Hills, Oakland Christian.
I was at that one also.
And then I think you've seen him also, Phil, then with the station against Peck.
Yeah.
Yep. That is correct.
So pretty tough schedule for Deckerville as it was, too.
Very, very tough schedule.
Yeah. All right.
They're going to be the most battle-tested team in eight-player football in the area going into the playoffs.
Our top of the hour news is going to be coming your way. So we'll be back at about around 6:15, we think. And we're going to talk about the Greater Thumb Conference, what happened. And tomorrow, the Blue Water Area Conference and eight-player football also. So there we go. The coverage for you guys there, Jonathan, on Thumb Talker Sports is what? Have we decided
yet? We're looking at North Branch Freeland on Channel 2 with Phil and John. And then Channel 1, it looks like it's going to be Nouvelle Catholic at Ubley.
All right, and a lot of these games in our coverage area are going to be on Friday nights. That was finalized as of today, this afternoon also, in our coverage.
Hey man, does that make things tough when every game's on Friday night?
We had that discussion already. I was wishing there would be more games on Saturday because I would love to cover a game on Saturday too, potentially. But.
Well, lucky me, I get to see Marlette once again. It'll be the third time, I do believe, to see Marlette, and they'll be taking on Marine City Cardinal Mooney at East China Stadium. Been there many times in the past with some Blue Water Area Conference teams. Now, we're seeing a Greater Thumb Conference team on that field. I can't remember last time a Greater Thumb Conference team has been on that East China Stadium field.
I don't recall.
I don't know if one ever has been.
This might be a first.
It's pretty exciting for that game there. And then our coverage on Friday night will have Brown City hosting Auburn Hills Oakland Christian.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
That's going to be a high-scoring game. That's going to be 100 points between the two teams.
The over-under on that's going to be 150.
Yeah.
You think so?
Well, let's see it.
Oh, it's going to be something outrageous. Both teams are going to score in the 60s.
I just saw 122 points in a football game. That's the most I've ever seen, so...
All right.
We had over 120, Eddie, when you and me did MESIC in Brown City.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Gosh, that's a lot of points there.
That was in regulation.
We've also had some blowouts also that weren't so great also.
But, not so much fun.
But it's the playoffs. We've seen a lot of good first-round playoff games on the schedule for the first round. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the Greater Thumb Conference, a recap and Week 9 action also. As we get ready for the playoffs, folks, we'll be right back. Top of the hour news and information come your way on WMIC.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information. From Graff, Chevrolet Buick in Sandusky, here's Sam and Brandon.
Finally, we're starting to see new vehicles hit the lot on a regular basis.
Yep, perfect time for truck season.
You mean truck month?
Nope, truck season.
Truck month.
Truck season.
Truck month.
Take a look at the program.
Okay, truck season it is.
And guess what, Sam?
We got trucks.
Yes, sir, we've got trucks. We have three Chevy Silverados with the Trail Boss package and your choice of the 2.7-liter turbo, a 5.3-liter, or the very popular 3-liter Duramax diesel. We've also got a well-equipped LT, all here and ready for delivery.
And with up to $2,750 in incentive cash, plus an additional $1,000 in accessory cash, it's a great time to get your new truck.
And we have more than just trucks.
We also have a Z71 Suburban, LS Tahoe, and Buick SUVs.
And if you're looking for a Chevy Equinox, we'll have that too.
Truck season is here at Graff Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky. Stop in before they're all gone.
In these uncertain times, fear can be debilitating or just simply overwhelming. Obviously, it can have a negative impact on your health as well as your wealth. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency is the solution to just such problems. Let's face it, reviewing and obtaining the correct health insurance coverage is more crucial now than ever before.
Open enrollment is upon us. Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
All right, welcome back. Here on the back porch of my yard, on the deck, Sportsline Monday. I am Eddie Ferry, along with Sir Philip Nickel, Jonathan Bisher, and on the phone from the Huron County View, practicing his golf swing in the front yard, is Paul Adams.
Hey, guys, how you doing? I didn't know Phil got knighted, but congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
He's right up there with Sir Elton John, if you know what I mean. So there we go.
Oh, boy.
All right. So we're going to talk about the Gridded Thumb Conference Week 9 in review. And, Paul, let's get your take off. So we already went through the scores in the 5 o'clock hour. Lakers lose to Garber, but, of course, that was their first loss of the season. Marlette wins to get in. Cassidy loses, but still in because of the tough schedule they had also. Ubley, Hubbard Beach, no problem. Hubbard Beach has to go on the road, however, with their one loss. Well, Ubley, of course, undefeated, running the table here and sticking around also. So the Gridded Thumb Conference, not bad represented this year.
No, the Gridded Thumb Conference is very well represented. I really like Cass City getting in. They played a really tough schedule and been pretty competitive in a few of their games. And, you know, I think Ubley and Harbor Beach are the class of the Gridded Thumb Conference. I think I put both of them above Lakers. I think what Harbor Beach has done the last 5 weeks should open up everybody's eyes. And any Ubley fan thinking that rematch, and there is going to be a rematch, Harbor Beach is going to MLS to win in that game. In that rematch, any Ubley fan thinking it's going to be 42-0 this time around, think again. This is a much different team. This team has improved greatly. These freshmen that Harbor Beach has, they've just improved so much. Harbor Beach is just a team that stands out to me, you know, other than Ubley. Ubley's done what they've done, and that's been so impressive. But Harbor Beach, you know, they could have went south after losing 42-0 to Ubley. Instead, they have really, really turned this thing around. And, you know, I'm telling you right now, when they face each other in that rematch, I think the winner might go to Ford Field. I think that both teams are that good. So,
bold statement there. Okay. The Lakers.
Hey, I also made a bold statement that Case will win a game this year, and that didn't happen either. So don't really read into anything I have to say.
Don't listen to me. Jeez.
Well, let's go into the Greater Thumb West. The Elkton Pitcher Bayport Lakers went to Garber. Jonathan, you covered this game also, and they lose 21-34, but they hung there pretty tough.
Actually, I'm going to say the opposite. Oh, Eddie, you say okay. They hung in there tough. It was two touchdowns. The last touchdown came at the tail end of the fourth quarter, so it was really a three-score game. And for the most part, Garber kept it at a three-score game throughout the majority of the game. I mean, they absolutely blitzkrieg Lakers to open up on this game. I mean, the first drive, they gave Lakers a taste of their own medicine. They ran the ball right down Lakers' throat, punched it in the end zone, and Lakers goes in. They go. They get into Garber territory before turning it over on downs, and Garber goes, we're going to run the ball for a little bit, and then they started airing it out, and next thing you know, they were up 21-0 at one point before Lakers even respond, or up 14-0. Lakers responds with a touchdown. What does Garber do? Instantly, three plays later, 84 yards to the house, touchdown, house call, right there through the air, and Lakers could just never get back from that. Once you were down 20-7, they couldn't respond. Next thing you know, it was 28-7. Then it was 28-14. Then it was 34-14. And Lakers, they just couldn't crawl back. I mean, they played them tough. They played them even for about two quarters. But the blitzkrieg of Garber in the first half was just too much for Lakers to handle.
6-3.
And Jonathan, I want to add, just having talked to Coach Lavasser here in the last, I talked to him yesterday, you know, Lakers turned the ball over five times, four interceptions and a fumble. Ooh. And he said, I don't care how good you are, you can't face a team the caliber of Garber and turn the ball over five times. And, you know, that definitely played a factor. And that was a little uncharacteristic of Lakers. They really haven't turned the ball over much this year. Coach Lavasser said they had more turnovers against Garber than they've had all year combined. So a very uncharacteristic, you know, stat for them. But I think, too, the speed of Garber, that's a Tri-Valley team, and I think that took them by surprise a little bit, but it could end up helping Lakers in this rematch with Bad Axe, having faced a pretty good Garber team.
Jonathan.
Oh, definitely caught him off by guard. they hit him with a couple of big plays over the top. The size really made a difference. I mean, Garber's receivers on the outside, we're talking 6'3 and 6'4, and they're going up and getting it against Lakers' smaller DBs. And when they got in the red zone, that's how they scored three of their touchdowns, were just jump balls in the back of the end zone. And Lakers' defensive backfield stood no chance. But that's, like you said, that's that Tri-Valley. That's just the bigger schools having athletes. When you can have three receivers over 6 foot and they can all jump, you're going to have success throwing the ball in these smaller schools with the smaller defensive backs.
Hey, Jonathan, can you tell me, was everybody healthy for the Lakers against Garber?
We've seen everybody come out. Jay Sears was back from his shoulder injury, Paul. I think that was really the only injury Lakers had all year.
Let me add, Jonathan, Jay Sears is playing through his shoulder injury. He's not back from it. He's just playing through it.
He got hit pretty hard at one point in the second half, and he was out for probably a drive or two. We've seen the sophomore Colton Tulaski in there, and he showed a little bit of life, but he's no Jay Sears.
No, and Jay Sears adds so much to the special teams game, too. Anybody that's seen this kid kick, I mean, if Brett Mueller is number one, Jay Sears is 1A. I mean, he's that good. I mean, his kickoffs have been spectacular. He's almost an automatic point after guy. So he means a lot to this team and gives them just a really good athletic weapon defensively and offensively. He can do a lot of things out there. I really like what Jay Sears brings, and he's shown a lot of toughness. Kid's playing through a pretty messed up shoulder right now, but he's gotten through it and doing it for the team.
Hey, Jonathan, can you tell me the total stats that Lakers had against Garber?
Yeah, I can, but I want to add one thing. Without Jay Sears and that Lakers offense, they're a completely different offense. Everybody talks about Wisner being the workhorse. I think Jay Sears is that X factor for Lakers, and if he's out of the lineup, they're not as dynamic as what they are because, like Paul said, you can do so many different things with him. He's the gadget guy. You're running reverses with him. He can throw halfback passes. He's running your deep routes. He's running the ball off the jet sweeps. He just does so many different things that without him, this offense becomes much more stagnant. You talk about Lakers stats. You know, they still ran the ball pretty effectively against Garber, a bigger team, 38 carries for 201 yards. It was the air game that wasn't there. They were 10 of 23, so under 50%, not a very good success rate. Did throw for 182 yards, but like Paul talked about, four interceptions was the big thing there for Lakers. They also had 11 penalties for 75 yards. So it wasn't necessarily the cleanest game Lakers has played all year.
Yeah, let me add, Jonathan, I talked to Coach Levaster about those penalties, and I've seen them a couple times this year, and they've been penalized in those games, and he's kind of downplayed it. He did not downplay the penalties after this game. He was embarrassed. He was downright angry about the penalties that they have been committing, most of them procedure calls. And he said this week in practice, that is going to be their number one point of emphasis is going to be cleaning up the penalties. Because the last time they faced FedEx, they committed 14 for 110 yards. You just cannot – you know, wow. They've been getting away with it, but it's not a recipe for a long playoff run if you're going to go double-digit penalties.
Yeah, and on that note, let's see if they can clean up the behavior also, because this is the rematch from back on October 7th. 14-32 was a loss for Bad Axe. Bad Axe also the following week lost to Harbor Beach 7-28. Can Bad Axe fix what they couldn't do against Lakers in this second meeting and rematch here?
Well, let me give you a scenario real quick, because I was at this game. Now, obviously, covered it. It was 26-14. Bad Axe had an absolute for sure touchdown. Was running it in. Ethan Wisner, the last defender, poked the ball out, got a fumble. If Bad Axe doesn't fumble that ball at that point, it is a one score game with 6.5 minutes to play. So it would have been an absolute ball game at that point. Instead, Ethan Wisner comes up with the play of the game, punches it out, Lakers goes down and eventually scores. But I look at it this way. You know, Bad Axe put themselves in a position to be in the ball game. If they could take care of the ball and not shoot themselves in the foot, it could definitely be a different story this time around.
And I see Bad Axe's defense as being the key there. You know, they've seen Lakers' offense now. Coach Verberg is a heck of a defensive coordinator. I think they've got a good chance to adjust. They got Jake McPhee at linebacker, and if anybody's going to slow down Ethan Wisner running the ball, it's going to be McPhee, and I expect to see those two collide a lot at the line of scrimmage. And if they can slow down Wisner like Garber did, it's going to be a success story for Bad Axe.
All right, that rematch, Lakers, Bad Axe, of course, Lakers, they get to host that game. In the playoffs, we'll see if this would be a different scenario come this week. What's your outlook in this game real quick, guys?
I still got Lakers taking the case.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Lakers at home, I just think that they're a little bit more dynamic than Bad Axe. But, you know, I think it could be closer than the 32-14 the last time they faced each other.
I would like to see Bad Axe offensively come out, throwing the ball a little more, allowing Keaton Braun maybe to run some bootlegs, use his athleticism, get Brown outside the pocket, let him really air it out, use your big target McPhee down the seam, and maybe Bad X's offense, you know, strikes big against Lakers' defense, catch them off guard, rather than running just that double wing and trying to get 3 yards.
All right, and this will be the winner of this game between Bad X and Lakers in Division 7. Region 2, District 2 will take on the winner of Cass City against Montrose. Quite a task for Cass City up against Montrose also. And we'll come back and talk about some of the other Greater Thumb Conference teams here. It is Sportsline on a Monday. We could be going in overtime. You never know. Things are getting darker here, Sir Philip. It's getting dark outside.
Yeah, well, the sun is going down.
All right. We'll be right back here on WMIC AM 1695.3. The sun goes down?
No, the earth rotates.
Okay. Thank you.
You're traveling to another dimension, a dimension of not only an office, but a home office. Your next stop, Kelly's home office. Kelly was working from home when the unthinkable happened. She reached for her coffee cup and...
Oh no!
With her computer beyond repair, she only had one option, and that's where the real terror began. The price of a new computer from the big box store was enough to chill Kelly's blood. But then, she had an idea.
Hello, welcome to the AVS Tech Team. How can we help?
Kelly had remembered that the AVS Tech Team had quality refurbished computers, which happened to be greatly discounted through the month of October.
All of our refurbished computers go through a rigorous multi-point inspection and a restoration.
Wow, these are really affordable.
Today, Kelly learned a valuable lesson. That the AVS Tech Team has prices so low, you'll scream. Terms and conditions apply. Discounts valid while supplies last.
This is Tanya Rubin, sales executive at Thumb Cellular. If you're thinking of switching mobile phone carriers, consider Thumb Cellular. Now is the time to get the tailored service you need from the local company you can trust. Unlike the other carriers, we like to build lasting relationships with our customers. I will work with your busy schedule to meet and discuss how we can best serve you. As the only local cellular carrier with the best coverage in the Thumb and nationwide, I can introduce you to what we call the Thumb Cellular Difference. Get the device you want, the plan you need, and the exceptional customer service you deserve without ever having to step foot in the store. So if you're ready for a better cellular experience, call me, Tanya Rubin, at 989-553-5282. Remember, at Thumb Cellular, we've got you covered.
You love Thumb Cellular.
When getting the job done right is job one, you need construction equipment that's built right. From compact track loaders to the world's number one selling compact excavator, the Kubota construction lineup features durable Kubota engines, more comfort, and the versatility to do it all and do it right. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Stop by Jones Equipment Rental Sales and Service in Fort Gratiot today.
Your friends at Liberty Lanes and Sandusky say, come join the team. The Fall Bowling Leagues will soon be starting, and Liberty Lanes has openings for the Monday night and Wednesday morning ladies' leagues, as well as men's leagues on Tuesday and Wednesday evenings. Liberty Lanes also has mixed leagues on Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday evenings. For more information or sign up, just call or stop in at Liberty Lanes and talk to Roger or Heidi. Plus, Liberty Lanes is a great place to eat. Great food, drinks, and spirits. They are also hiring for all positions, so apply now at Liberty Lanes, located at the West Park Plaza in Sandusky. Call 810-648-9860. 810-648-9860. And like them on Facebook and their website, BoldLibertyLanes.com.
All right, welcome back to our 6 o'clock hour of Sportsline. On a Monday, got to turn that radio on so we don't get that
the echo.
The swap shop echo.
The feedback loop.
Yeah. Paul Adams with us. We talked about the Lakers and Cassidy. We'll be taking on Montrose. Cassidy lost to Beale City. They hung in there tough. But Cassidy's still going to have a tough challenge up against Montrose, guys.
Yeah, just because Montrose record 6-3 doesn't mean they're no slouch. Cassidy definitely did themselves good by playing Beale City Week 9, playing one of the top teams in Division 8 and hanging in there. You know, this is a 21-14 game going into the fourth quarter. So they were right there with Beale City. Now they got to go to Montrose and play a very tough Montrose that's lost to New Lothrop and not very many other schools. And if you lose to just New Lothrop, you're a pretty solid team.
You know, I'll tell you what, you look at Cass City's schedule now. They've got four losses, but those four losses are to Lakers, Ubley, Harbor Beach, and Beale City. I know they didn't get the wins in those games, but even playing that kind of caliber of competition, that makes you ready for the playoffs. I will piggyback off what Johnson just said. 21-14 against one of the best teams in Division 8 on the road at their place in the second half. That's a huge stepping stone, in my opinion, for Cass City. Montrose, though, hey, they're 6-3, and they're the number one seed in that district, which includes Lakers. So that tells you what kind of schedule Montrose is playing. They played a quality schedule as well. So I think it's going to be a really competitive game. It's probably kind of a wide-open district for any of the four teams to really win this thing. So I'm excited to see how this one's going to play out.
Yeah, Cassidy winning the games they were supposed to win. They won against Reese. They beat Memphis also another game they're supposed to win. They had a close win over Sandusky. Sandusky, you know, tough team themselves as they came along. And they beat a playoff team, at least beaten one playoff team, helped them. That was Marlette, 56-20. And I think you covered that game,
I covered
Phil.
That game, yeah. They were... Cass City just dominated that entire game.
They keep that M81 sign, and, of course, the loss to Beale City, but Montrose can be a tough go here. You want to add something about Cass City?
Yeah, you talk about them losing to Lakers, Harbor Beach, and Beale City. Now, in Ubley, granted, Ubley just came in there and absolutely took care of business, and me and Paul might have seen one of the most athletic plays by a quarterback game on a 4th-and-19, and Ubley goes for it, but that's besides the point. Lakers, first half, they were right in that game. Harbor Beach, same thing, first half. They were right in that game. Now, Beale City, you see it, 3.5 quarters they were in the game. Now it's going to come down to Montrose. Can they put it together for 4 quarters against a very good team? And if they do that, they can win this game.
So the Vassar
they're
vote.
Young yet, too. That's the one thing we're not talking about with Cass City. They're young. Like, this is another team. Like, Cass City reminds me a lot of Harbor Beach. It's a team on the rise with a lot of young guys, freshmen, sophomores playing in some big positions. They're only going to get better. They have gotten better throughout this season, and they're going to get better next year and beyond. But, those guys, the young guys have matured very much throughout this season.
If they get any type of success early in that game against Montrose, Montrose might have awakened a beast in that district.
So the Vassar Vulcans themselves are coming off the big win over Marlette, costing Marlette a home playoff game, 29-22. Vassar Vulcans feeling confident, and they take on the Harbor Beach Pirates.
Aye.
But to no avail, the Harbor Beach Pirates come down on him and say, 51-12 was the final score for Harbor Beach over the Vassar Vulcans. Despite that win for Harbor Beach and their one lone loss was to the Ubley Bearcats, they are sent on the road to Saginaw MLS. Talk about the Harbor Beach Pirates there, Paul. Got to feel kind of confident, since that loss to Ubley. Are they better now than they were when they got shut out against Ubley?
Well, I touched about it. I touched on it in the first segment there when you brought me on. So I kind of said all that already. Yeah, I mean, since losing to Ubley, they've really flipped the switch. And I remember talking to Coach Eric Sweeney, the Ubley coach, after that game, and he goes, "If we face them again, it's not going to be like this." He goes, "That team is young, but they're talented." And he said, "Those freshmen are going to get better." And one of those freshmen, and it's really blossomed, is Caden Buchholz. He came on to fill in for Canton Babcock, who went down with an injury in week eight against Bad Axe. And then what we saw was Buchholz get a full week of practice as QB1, and he absolutely had his best game of the season against Vassar. Now, I know the competition is not that good against Vassar, but what Coach Shelkey and his staff wanted to see how the kid would do going, being the guy, and he shined. 159 yards, two rushing touchdowns. He was 4 of 5 passing, 85 yards and a touchdown. That's pretty good for a freshman in his first varsity start. I don't care who it's against.
Do you think Benson Harper, the top receiver for Harbor Beach, was happy to get his quarterback back there? And Buchholz, not that Tanton Badcock's not a heck of a quarterback, but this is a kid that he's played from they started out playing football together. It's two freshmen now. That's going to be a dynamic duo to watch out for. And if they want to throw the ball, it's going to be Caden Buchholz to Benson Harper for the next 4 years.
Well, the first pass that Caden Buchholz threw against Badak was a 60-yard dime to Harper. I mean, on an absolute rope. And then I talked to Caden after that game. Really handled himself well for a freshman, you know, talking to the media for the first time, and he said him and Harper, they've been playing their whole lives together. They just have this rapport with each other. And I think as they get a little bit older and as the coaches trust both of them, you got to keep in mind, they're both talented athletes, but they're both freshmen. And as the coaches grow to trust them more, they're going to give both players more and more and more. And this connection of Buchholz and Harper is going to be really something to watch as it grows, and it could be really something special here for years to come.
All right, so the Harbor Beach Pirates will be on the road at Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary. And speaking of Saginaw Michigan Lutheran Seminary, they played Marine City Cardinal Mooney, by the way, Sir Philip. 43-32 win for Saginaw MLS. And Cardinal Mooney will be taking on the Marlette Red Raiders, hosting them at East China Stadium. Marlette themselves got the win. They had to win the game over Our Lady of the Lakes. They got the win. After that loss to Vassar, kind of was making things a little shaky, 22-29, but they come back and win 42-14 over Our Lady of the Lakes.
Yeah, that victory of Our Lady of the Lakes, number of plays is what stood out to me. Marlette ran 60 plays, 433 yards of total offense to Our Lady of the Lakes, 35 plays, 187 yards, 42-14, total dismantling. It was 28-6 at halftime. They never really looked back. I mean, Quentin Sarton, their quarterback, 4 of 6 passing for 96 yards and 2 touchdowns, so half of his completions were touchdowns. And, of course, Logan Malloy, leading rusher, 16 rushes, 139 yards. He also had 2 touchdowns. Zadork, 14 rushes, 96 yards. And, of course, Wesley Chapin, 7 rushes for 50 yards. Quentin Sarton, the quarterback, also had 12 rushes and 2 touchdowns, 43 yards. So really spread it around. I mean, they had 4 backs with pretty decent nights. For a rushing quarterback, Quentin Sarton looks good. He throws a really nice ball. I noticed that when I saw him against Cass City. Yeah. And what a complete victory in all facets of the game for Marlette.
Compared to last week, mm-hmm. they turned the ball over. And that it was one of those turnovers that Vassar scored on that cost them the win. This week, how many turnovers?
Zero turnovers this week.
You got to clean that up. You can't turn the ball over, especially in the playoffs. There are you two guys over there. Marlette just seems like on the cusp. They're running the ball more than they do passing now this year. But, you know, when you make costly mistakes like that, you can't do it against teams like the Harbor Beaches or the Cass Cities or even the Vassars we found out now there, Paul and Jonathan.
But I'm here to tell you guys, when you look at that district, Marlette could win this district.
Oh, man.
I believe that. Marlette could win this district. It's that open for them. I think they played a really tough schedule. And, you know, if they don't commit turnovers and penalties, look out. They could end up hoisting a trophy here. Believe me, nobody was happier to go south than Marlette and get away from Ubley and Harbor Beach.
Right.
I was going to say that Marlette's probably the happiest school there is that Snooze to You was wrong on his projections in Division 8. I mean, they're thinking, great, here we go. Ubley again. In Ubley. Nope. What do they get? They get Marine City Cardinal Mooney, and they're going, all right, here we go. We can make some noise. We can show them what thumb football is about, and they just did to Waterford, that they can run the ball. They don't come out in that wing tee that everybody sees. They come out in a little shotgun, a little spread formation, but they still want to run the ball hard down your throat, and Marine City Cardinal Mooney better be ready for that. You know, this South Division is going to get a little bit of taste of the thumb football now.
So in the rest of the Greater Thumb Conference through Week 9, you only got 2 teams going to the playoffs, and they're going to face off against each other again this coming week, Lakers and Bad Axe. Reese Rockets finished the season at 2-7. Carroll Tigers at 1-8. Vassar Vulcans 4-5. And Unionville Sleepwing Patriots at 2-7. There's been a lot of questions, you two, about is there going to be a team from the Greater Thumb Conference maybe dropping to a 8-player football? Is there any thoughts of that?
I think there's 2 teams on the cusp of doing it.
That would be USA and Marlette.
Hmm. How about you?
USA's not going.
Okay.
They're not going to eight-player football.
Not yet. It's not happening. Marlette, maybe.
Hold on to the
USA's
last
not going. There's something, you know, they feel like if they could make it through this year, which they did barely, they have enough coming up to field full 11-player varsity and junior varsity. So they're going to elect to stay in the Greater Thumb Conference. Now, we're here talking in late October. A lot of things could change by the time next year rolls around, and they could make that move. But I think as of right now, USA stays. I can't really speak for Marlette.
All right, and in the Greater Thumb East, Ubley Bearcats finish undefeated. They are the Greater Thumb East champions, 9-0 overall. Harbor Beach 8-1, Cass City 5-4, Marlette 5-4. Pretty good to see there, Sir Philip.
Yeah.
Four teams from the Greater Thumb East in the playoffs.
Four teams from the Greater Thumb East in the playoffs. Always great to see. The area is very well represented. I feel like with the Blue Water Area Conference, of course, eight-player teams making it, and as you said, from the Greater Thumb Conference East, four teams make it into the playoffs, while the West had just two teams make it into the playoffs on Greater Thumb Conference.
All right. On that note, we're going to talk about the Ubley Bearcats when we come back. We're talking about the Greater Thumb Conference tomorrow, the Blue Area Conference, and eight-player football to talk about tomorrow also. And we hope to have, I do believe Mike Gallagher will be back tomorrow really quick to talk about some of that stuff tomorrow, because we were both at that Deckerville Peck showdown. That was quite exciting. So we'll be right back here. Our final break when we come back, talk about the Ubley Bearcats here on Sportsline Monday. It's getting darker and darker in the deck here. I'll be right back. I'm wearing my Hunter's Orange, too, by the way.
I'm wearing a gray shirt, so.
We'll be right back.
In these uncertain times, fear can be debilitating or just simply overwhelming. Obviously, it can have a negative impact on your health as well as your wealth. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency is the solution to just such problems. Let's face it, reviewing and obtaining the correct health insurance coverage is more crucial now than ever before.
Open enrollment is upon us. Call today for an appointment, 810-984-1373.
Hi, I'm Grant Smith, owner of the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency. If you are a senior 65 or older and you would like alternatives to your current health insurance, you don't have to wait. Make an appointment and come talk to us. We have policies you can buy throughout the year. And remember, we are here throughout the year to help you with any health insurance questions. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency, the right decision.
Tired of your slow internet service that buffers when you're trying to stream a movie? Tired of hearing the internet is out again? Highline has started installing its new fiber to the home service in Sanilac County, and that solves these common internet problems forever. Connect every TV, phone, computer, and more to Highline's internet service, and you'll have the fastest internet connection available anywhere in the U.S. No contracts, unlimited data, and a fiber connection make Highline the best option in the thumb for your home's internet connection. Visit HighlineFast.com today for more information.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler with Kohler's Propane. Looking back, it's been a real nice summer, but each day is closer to fall and cooler weather. When it's time for your furnace to go on, will you be ready? You will be if you depend on Kohler's Propane. For 73 years, we've been keeping homes and businesses in the Thumb and Blue Water area warm and cozy. Our goal is to provide you with quality products and superior service. We guarantee your price for one full year, offer free tank installation, free safety inspection, plus keep full and budget plans are available. At Kohler's, we have a commitment to our customers and communities we serve to continue to provide the level of service we would expect ourselves. For information, call us toll free, 800-572-2191. Or visit our website, getkohlers.com. And remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
All right, welcome back to Sports Line on a Monday. Jonathan Bisher with us from Thumb Trucker Sports, as well as Sir Philip Nicko, who's done two games for Sand Lake Broadcasting, by the way.
Right.
Mikey Smith, a big shout-out to him. He'll be listening to the replay of this, of course, later on, possibly, or listening now. Jonathan, big shout-out to Jason McConaughey listening in. He's in the farmer's truck cutting down corn, probably. listening to his favorite band, Korn. And we're...
Eric to listen to because he's down at Sandusky combining corn also.
Oh, nice. And by the way, speaking of corn, the corn maze and some Halloween fun at Gettner Bisher Farms this weekend. What is going on out there, Jonathan?
From 7:30 to 10, a haunted corn maze. Come get the living daylight scared out of you. It's going to be pretty intense this year.
I would
take you about 15, 20 minutes to get through it, so you're going to get your money's worth.
7:30 to 10 p.m. I'd be more scared about the children of the corn out there in Minden City area.
There might be a couple of them.
They're creepy. Oh, Malachi, stay away from me.
Oh, boy.
Popcorn be popcorn out there. Okay. By the way, Paul Adams with us from the Huron County View also. I want to know this. Will Paul Adams and Mrs. Adams, will you be giving away candy this year or not?
My wife will be, but she usually goes over to my mother-in-law. What day is
Monday.
It's on a Monday. No, yep. I'll be covering volleyball, so I will not be.
Oh, well, that's still kind of sweet, though.
So. I got volleyball districts next week. Sorry, kiddos.
So tune in for Sportsline next Monday when Eddie asks all the coaches that call in what their favorite candy is.
I did that last year, and a lot of them answered the questions.
Of course.
Yeah, so, okay, let's get to the Sandusky game. They end it on a good note here before we get to the ugly stuff. And a good win for the Sandusky football team, by the way. And we're going to see a very hard-charged article in the Sand Lake County News this coming Wednesday. I'll just leave it at that.
Two of them.
Okay.
Nice. Good work, Mikey Gallagher.
Jackson Renke, 13 carries, 190 yards, and a touchdown. Carter Krause, 12 carries, 106 yards, three touchdowns. We're going to see him really grow into next year. I'm really excited to see this running back next year in the Wing T offense. Kyle Gibord, 6 carries, 65 yards in this game. Thank you to Brandon Gibord for sending the stats in once again for Sandusky. And, you know, finish the season at 3-6. You know, a tough goal here for the Sandusky football team. They opened the season against Lakers with a loss, 6-47. And then we covered this game against Bad Axe. That was a loss also. They picked up the win against Memphis. They hung in there with Marlette. A couple turnovers hurt Sandusky. They played Cass City really tough also, but Cass City came out on top by 6 points. They hung in there really tough against Harbor Beach also. They scored 6 points but lost 28-6. Ubley is a different story. Ubley is on another plane right now in the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years. 8-42 loss. They bounced back with 2 straight wins over Reese and Union of Seaboing. Winning the games they're supposed to win. I like how Patriots did play Sandusky tough. They got 20 points, but Sandusky a little bit better at the end of the season. Guys, what's the outlook for Sandusky, you think? You know, this happens, you know, every 2-3 years, and they bounce back on their third year. This is the second, you know, losing season, but it seems like it takes about a couple years here, and then, boom, they're right back at it.
Yeah, Sandusky does follow this pattern. When they have this lull, they come back, and they come back in a big way. They make the playoffs in you know, consecutive seasons and usually end up making runs and being a contender in that Greater Thumb East. And, you know, when you got Coach Jacobson heading this program, you are always going to have a chance. And I think this team showed flashes of what it could be. But let's be honest, they're in a meat grinder in the Greater Thumb East. If the Greater Thumb East stays the way it is, with Cass City staying in there, I mean, you've got Ubley, Harbor Beach, and Cass City, who all should be good next year. You add Sandusky to that and Marlette. And, I mean, you know, where do you get all your wins from? Because these teams are going to be eating each other alive next year. But I do think you'll see Sandusky win 4 to 5, 6 games next year.
Yeah, I think that's really what happened to Sandusky this year. They thought this year was the year they were going to hit that 5 or 6 win mark. But like you said, they all of a sudden throw Cass City into the East. You rearrange your schedule, and they draw Lakers Bad Axe for the first 2 games of the season. And I think that really just kind of set them behind the eight ball, and they can never get back to where they wanted to be.
The yardage for the Union of the Seaboing Patriots, 40 carries, 169 yards rushing. They were 38 yards and a touchdown also passing-wise for the USA Patriots. Sandusky's 5 touchdowns in that game rushing-wise also. And let's move on now to the Ubley Bearcats. They get the win at the end of the season. They go undefeated, 9-0. Huge win over the Reese Rockets, and just not enough fuel for the Rockets against the Ubley Bearcats here, Jonathan. I tell you what, this Ubley team is very special. For the first time in a long time, I had not seen them once. Phil, you've got to see these guys,
No,
right?
I have not seen Ubley this season either.
This is my first year where I haven't seen Ubley play.
Well, they kinda, JV's seen them nine times this season, yeah.
Just three.
I'm just joking, but yeah. I mean, a lot of times we already knew the outcome. We knew they were going to be blowouts, so we really didn't really send coverage, but we plan on covering them obviously all through the playoffs. So
yeah, 468 ridiculous yards, Jonathan, in this game.
Yeah, all on the ground on 28 carries, almost 17 yards of carries with 10 touchdowns on the ground. I mean, their starters combined only carried the ball 15 times.
Wow.
Peruski, their quarterback, the most dynamic player probably in the thumb, 1 carry, 50 yards and a touchdown. Mark Heilig, one of the best fullbacks in the area, 5 carries, 115 yards and a touchdown. You got Aiden Makoviak, a kid that's played a couple games there at running back. He had 3 touchdowns. The junior, Seth Maurer, that kind of has been the, you know, hidden behind back, hasn't gotten the workload yet this year. He had 2 touchdowns. I mean, it's just been everybody and anybody for the Bearcats that have just taken this team all the way to 9-0.
You know, I talked to Coach Sweeney today, and we talked about a balanced offense and how he's been able to keep these guys fresh. I think Heilig has 72 carries on the year. That's a high for the team. Only 72 carries. These guys are ready to carry the load in the playoffs. These guys are absolutely ready. They've been rested, ready to go, and you saw it. Just a little bit, Coach Sweeney let these guys off the chain, and they put 69 on Reese. I think if he really lets this team go, who knows how far and how much they could actually score. I mean, this is the wing T running to absolute perfection. You've got 3 great backs, and like Jonathan said, an absolutely dynamic quarterback with Evan Peruski. You put that all together. This is what you get. This is your all-thumb team of the year. They have absolutely crushed everybody they've played, and they have played some quality opponents. 4 playoff teams. I've seen them 3 times against Paddock, Carter Beach, and Cass City, all blowouts, running clocks in each one of those games. So, I'm anxious to see when the chips are down, how do they play? If somebody actually does punch them in the mouth and gets them on their heels, I think they'll answer the call. But so far, this has just been, this has been a really memorable season for the Bearcats.
Over three.
And we're praising their offense about how, you know, they got 4 guys and they're balanced. We forget their defense behind Coach Jim Becker. Allowed only 50 points this year, less than a touchdown a game. 5.5 points a game is all they allow. I mean, they have
only one team has scored in the first half.
One team has scored in the first half. Only one team has put up 2 touchdowns on them in a game. And they have held, 4 teams that have scored over 30 points a game to 6 or less points.
Coach Becker is the key. Obviously you got to have great players, and they do have great players. But, I'd put Coach Becker against any defensive coordinator in the area. I really will. I mean, I've seen Coach Becker for over 20 years now and how he adjusts to the personnel he has. And now that he has this really special group of personnel and they all buy in, I've seen him get a lot out of guys that have far less talent than what this team does. And now you see a team that's so talented and they're performing at such a peak level that it's given me shades of the 2004 USA team, which allowed 43 points for a whole season. I just haven't seen a defensive unit this dominant in quite some time.
And now over 3,000 plus yards, averaging 10 yards per carry, over 300 carries on the game also. Now they're in the playoffs against the Saginaw Newfield Panthers.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs.
Right.
You kidding me? Playoffs?
Yeah, and that's where we're at. With 1 minute left in the show, really quick commentary, Phil, on Ubley real quick.
Well, I think if they don't make it to Ford Field, it's going to be a bust for the season, because I think that this team is that good, averaging over 49 points a game offensively, giving up 5.5. Yeah.
And Jonathan?
it's like you said, it's Paul said it earlier. It's Ugly Harbor Beach rematch. Whoever comes out of that's got the best chance to make it to Ford Field. But I'll tell you this much: those two teams drew the short end of the stick thanks to the MHSAA by throwing them up north and kicking Marlette to the south. Now they got to go through Beale City and up to the UP for Iron Mountain. They got the toughest path to get there, but I do believe both teams are very capable of doing it.
And Paul, with 30 seconds, if you can, of the Bearcats against Saginaw Nouvelle, what's going to happen?
One of my favorite movies is Rocky III, and somebody asked him what Glover Lang was going to do to Rocky Balboa, and his prediction was pain. And that's going to be my prediction for Saginaw Nouvelle. It's going to get ugly.
And I can't wait for Creed III. So.
Oh, boy.
Exactly.
All right, thank you, guys. Thank you for tuning in to Sports Line, WMIC, BWAC tomorrow night, and eight-player football tomorrow on our Sports Line show. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Make good choices.